next Sunday. Okay, take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And we're looking at something special tonight in the Word of God. And I want us to notice tonight in Psalm 37 some very helpful truths that we'll be coming back to. I'm not going to finish up for sure tonight in this passage, but I want us to start off here tonight. And I want you to follow along reading with me in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 37 and verses 1 through 8. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Father, I pray that you'll teach us tonight from this passage some wonderful truths regarding your will for us. And I pray that each adult and each young person here tonight would desire to know what you think and desire to know how and why they can have your will in their lives. And I pray that it would be clear to them tonight to see the next steps in front of them and, Lord, to see what is at their feet. Help us, Lord, to grow in this understanding of how we make decisions. And I pray that those that have big decisions in front of them would learn some practical things tonight from the small decisions, the basics of our life, so that we can know the direction that we ought to take. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the will of God is one of those topics. The will of God. The will of God. Have you ever heard someone speak on the will of God? And they always speak of it in these really big, big decisions. And whoa, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. And I remember as a kid hearing of the will of God and thinking, what's the will of God for my future? You know, who am I going to marry? None of you all think of that, do you? Now, all these young people in here, college age, high schoolers, you're starting to think of that. It's going through your head. Or what will my first job be? Or what kind of career am I supposed to have? Or what car am I supposed to buy? Or, you know, the kinds of questions can continue all through your life, can't they? And be very big and very daunting at times. And I remember as a teen, maybe even when I was 10 or 11, just being overwhelmed sometimes with the, how am I going to know what God wants me to do? Have you ever felt that way? Now, many of you are not in your teen years anymore or in your early adulthood. You're like, I already know, I am where I am, and I don't think a lot about God's will. Well, you need to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God's will isn't just for little kids, and it's not just for those that are in the middle age of life, or those that are 60 or 70. It's for those that are all the way till the last day that we breathe on this earth. We are to know what God desires and be following in it. Now, I think it's important for us to remember that God's will for us is not just in big things. It's in little things. It's in a multitude of little things, small steps. And if you will learn the process of learning, God's will for me is in small things that are right in front of me, it'll encourage you in knowing what the next things are in those bigger steps. There's a song that we're going to learn it as a church. I'm going to sing it for you, and we'll learn it in the future. But it goes, one step at a time, oh, lead me, Lord Jesus. One step at a time, show me the way. One step at a time, I'll follow your leading. Growing in grace, seeking your face. One step at a time. We sing that in our family devotions a good bit. Our kids like that song, and I like it. And it's a good one that we're going to learn as a church. Because one step at a time defines the way in which you ought to think of God's will. the next thing in front of me. Now, there's big things down the road, aren't there? Yes. How am I going to know the big things if you won't focus on the small things that are the daily choices, the basics, the what's at your feet, as Will Rice would often say. And parents, this is, we call this Family Basics series. So tonight the title is The Will of God and Part 1, okay, because we're going to be talking about this for a little while. But parents, we have a responsibility to help our children in understanding the will of God and understanding how they will make choices and what God's mind is about it and how we're going to lead them in that. And those of you that aren't parents yet, tuck this away, okay? Put it in the back of your head and say, ooh, I know now how I'm going to think about this. But more than that, whether you have kids or not, every one of us can put this into practice. Every one of us can think through what we're going to look at tonight and understand it. And parents in particular, we have a responsibility to help our children and keep things simple. Parents, don't overcomplicate what God wants for your children. Keep it very simple. Keep it on the bottom shelf, as it were, so they can understand they are doing the will of God when they, and if it's a small, basic thing, they can know they are doing the will of God. And we're going to talk about that some this evening. But the will of God is not just who you're going to marry. It's not just what car you're going to buy. It's all of those decisions, but also many, many small ones. And so we must work to communicate to our children that there are two paths or choices. And in this passage, there's a dramatic, I mean, as you read Psalm 37, and I'd encourage you to read it at some point during this next week, and just observe the dichotomy. There's this or there's this. There's one path that follows what God wants and God's desires, delights in the Lord. If you want to kind of sum it up with one verse, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. That would kind of characterize what God wants. And then there's a path that is characterized by evil, the evildoers, those that are doing wicked, those that are following in a path that is opposed to what God wants. And it's a really important thing for us as parents to keep that clear in the minds of our children. There's a path that God wants. There's a path that God desires. Can you speak of things in your family in a way that reminds them there's a path that God wants and there's a path that is against what God wants? Is that too complicated? Children, obey your parents. Which path is this going towards? God wants this, not this. Now, when you correct in the home, or even when there's a, you know, that's not the best thing to do, and here's why, the connecting the dots for our kids is really important for us parents. And those of you that are thinking, oh, this is about parenting, I don't have kids, it's true for you as well to connect the dots, because you're going to make choices this week that need to be in a connection of, this is something I know God is pleased with, or I don't know if God is pleased with. How many of you realize we make a lot of choices in this ambiguous, I don't know, well, maybe, or I don't want to think about it too much because then I'll have to make a decision that's informed by what God thinks. And you and I need to see our children, and we as adults need to be seeing there's two choices, two pathways. The path that focuses on righteousness. And again, summed up in verse 4, notice, delight thyself also in the Lord. And we often focus in on the second half of that verse, and we'll talk about it more later. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll get whatever I want, like a magic genie or a genie bottle, right? I can just rub on it and get what I want. No. No, the first part is essential for you to know. You have to have a mindset that says, I delight in what God wants. I delight in what God wants versus the evil desires. And verse 1 tells us something very important about these evil workers or workers of iniquity. And David addresses in verse number 1, fret not thyself because of who? Evildoers, a different pathway and a different mindset. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, we'll talk of this some more in a moment, but fret not thyself because of them. The idea is you and I must know where that path will lead. And because of that, I'm not going to follow this. I'm not going to follow into that snare or that way of thinking. And this path or choice, the evildoers, as you read through this, they have a certain end. There is a definite way in which this ends up, and it's not good. Even in the moment, it may sound like they are prospering or doing well, but you need to know where this path ends and where this path ends. This one, delighting the Lord, is one that you can have a certainty in where it will end. And if you will keep God's will in clear focus of this pleases God, this doesn't. You'll make a lot of right choices. Can I just say that again? Adults and kids, if you will keep in perspective, this pleases God or this doesn't, you'll make a lot of right choices. You say, that sounds oversimplified, Pastor. Nowhere in the Bible do you see that the will of God is complicated. Can I say that again? The will of God is not complicated. Is it challenging or hard or difficult in that you have a choice to make? Yeah, and sometimes those choices are hard, but it's not complicated. When we break things down to the simplest points, doesn't that help us make choices without all the drama and confusion and, but what about this? But what about this? Get all that out of your head for a moment and break it down to the most basic thing. And can't kids come up with, and I'm picking on the kids because we adults do it too, but can't kids come up with things that make decisions complicated? Can't we adults? Yeah, I see a lot of you smiling tonight. Because we know, but this plus this plus this plus this equals this in our minds, but we need to break it down to simple things. Keep it simple. The choice of trusting God is one choice, or doubting God. Following his desires, verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's a simple thing. And by the way, is trust something you see in the Bible over and over and over and over and over? Yes, why? Because it's how we operate with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a... Oh, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as I seek to know what he wants and follow that, does he promise to bless that? Absolutely. I'll be rich, right? No, I didn't say that. No. Am I going to have lots of things? No, that's not the answer. The blessing of God is in being in relationship with him. Now, he will provide as he sees fit. And for his people Israel, he had made special covenant promises to them. And so as we read this, remember that this is two children of Israel thinking. So there's some things that are in this passage that are in the context of the children of Israel blessings, okay? But the principle we can learn an incredible amount from. And Hebrews gives us a good example of that in Hebrews 11:6. He does reward those that diligently seek him. And that rewarding from him ought be your goal. Can I say that again? That rewarding from him ought be your focus and goal. When I follow after him, is his will good? Boy, that was really lousy. Maybe we don't know. I don't know, Pastor, is it? When we follow after God, is his will, his desires, are they good? Are they good for us? Always. Now, parents, and I say this because we have to, I think, teach it to our children. We've got to talk about that on the small things and the big things. Because there is a lot clamoring at us, and our culture is all the time yelling at you, yeah, that's not really that great. Let me show you what's great. In fact, verse number 1, I think, addresses that could have even been taking place in the children of Israel as evil people, or those that are not doing what God wants, prosper. And this passage brings it up over and over and over and over again. And the feeling might be, why go that route when this route looks better? By the way, don't young people oftentimes say the question, I don't see why I've got to do this. Look what God's blessed me with. Have you ever heard people count God's blessings as their check mark, their stamp of approval upon doing something that is obviously unbiblical? Well, we just love each other, and so we just believe God's blessed us with this, that, and the other, and so we just think we can live like this and do this. Have you heard people say these things? Be careful of your own heart, because it can creep up in you. Where your thinking can be, well, I don't know that it's really that bad. I can do what I want. Let me give you a couple of admonitions from this passage, okay? Number 1, define sin and sinful paths clearly for your family. As I read this passage, it encouraged me to define sin and sinful paths clearly for my family. And you might think at first, that's a given, right, Pastor? Of course we are. But David does so in this passage by repeatedly contrasting righteous behavior and the path that God wants versus the path of evil, wicked, and destructive paths. And I think it's good for us to give our kids a good working definition of sin. I know back when Brother Brent Gellis was here this summer, he gave one, and I think it's a helpful one. Sin is anything that we think, say, or do that doesn't please God, and God hates sin. Now, you can say something different, in a different paraphrase, but in the essence of it, sin is anything that I think, say, or do that doesn't please God, and God... Yeah, God hates sin. Why do you say, Pastor, I need to give my kids a clear, defined picture of what sin is? Because their decisions either reflect what pleases God or what is not pleasing to God. Sin. Do you realize that? Your decisions do too. Your decisions reflect evil or they reflect what pleases God. I don't like, Pastor, you calling my desires or my ambitions or my thoughts or my desires, my actions as evil or good. Well, God does that in this passage, doesn't he? He does, and so I can, and you can, figure out what I'm thinking, and we ought to do this in our home. Anything I think or say that doesn't please God, I need to know what that is then that pleases him or doesn't please him. And David doesn't refer to evil in ambiguous ways. He doesn't say, well, the alternative lifestyle. Does he use the word evil? In this passage, you're going to find it often in verse 1. Evildoers, workers of iniquity, in verse 1. Look on down further in verse number 7. The man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. In verse number 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Are these pretty clear, strong explanations of right and wrong? Now, I point that out, and you say, that's obvious, Pastor, but it is not so obvious in our culture today. It is very easy for people to like to give, well, they just have an alternative lifestyle. And I said it this morning, the public schools have really pushed hard on people to not use any kind of language that defines something as right or wrong. You can't say anything about it. And in fact, in our culture, and on the social media platforms, it's going to become increasingly more difficult to say, this is right and this is wrong. And you and I need to know that because our kids are going to be faced with it. And you kids, I want you all to be equipped to know personally what right and what wrong are. I mean this with all my heart. If you are not clear in your mind about what is right and what is wrong, it'll be difficult to make decisions. It'll be hard to say, well, everybody else is doing this. Why am I not going to do this? Why am I not going to approve it? David doesn't refer to evil in ambiguous ways. It's very black and white. There is a way ordered by the Lord, and there is a way that ends in destruction. And we've got to be clear in our thinking and parenting. David doesn't ignore what becomes of those involved in evil. Look at verses 9 and 10 in chapter 37. He doesn't ignore what becomes or ends in those people's lives. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Now it's good for us to speak in the ears of our children about the road of disobedience and where it ends. Where will this kind of behavior end? We like to live so much in the moment and not see down the road. And you're like, I want to know God's will. Only when it equals the things I think it'll end up in. But if you want to know God's will, look down the road of disobedience and see where it ends up. Look down the road of selfish, carnal living and see where it ends. God is not going to bless your path if you're not going to deal with things that are clearly wrong by his word. Now, it's important for us to say where things are going. How many of you have ever been tempted to jump to the end of a story when reading it to find out what happens at the end without reading all the way through? Right now I'm tempted to. I've been reading a story to my kids each night. And it's a kind of a long book. But it's good. And it's taking a long time to get to the, okay, what's going to end? And there's a temptation to look to the end. And we oftentimes want to do that in God's will. I just want to know who I'm going to marry, or I want to know what's going to happen down the road in the future. But can I remind you, you need to live out daily steps, the basics, and we sadly ignore the known end to sin. and where it will go. And David calls for definite rejection of sin. In verse number 8, look what he says. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fret means, and I should have mentioned this back in verse 1, it means to worry or be grieved, to be kindled is often how it's translated in other places. Don't get worked up is how I would say it. Don't get worked up in a way that you're tolerable to something. And, well, this is not what I want. And you know what? I don't like it, and I'm going to get involved in it myself. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You ever get worked up and say, what's the point? You know, that's exactly where you'll start making choices that are not going to lead you down the path that God wants. What's the point? What will this end in? Don't live questioning evil and saying, well, look, they're having all this fun. They're having all this benefit. Why can't I? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What is his desire for you? There's a definite call, and there ought to be in our families a definite call. While someone's under our roof, we are going to do what pleases God. Can I just tell you that? That's a good thing to remind your family of. We are, as a family, going to pursue what pleases God. You ought not be ashamed to say that, parent. You ought never be ashamed to say the things that we're going to do, the choices we're going to make, are because we want to please God. Now, I'm convinced that's the heartbeat of the families in here tonight. We have to articulate that, though. We have to say that. We have to have it on our lips. And our kids are going to pick it up in a way that they can pass on to their kids if we talk about it often. Now, you're saying, Pastor, I'm all with you on this. I'm all on this. Well, let me give you another thing. Not only are we to clearly define the evil path, but speak highly of God's path. Speak highly of God's path to your family. The vector, the way that we are tracking towards. Make it so clear that this is obvious. Verse 34. Now, I know we're jumping around a little bit, but notice the phraseology in some of these verses. Verse 34 of Psalm 37 says, wait on the Lord, keep his way. You see that statement? Keep his way. Notice verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Now, there is a vector, a pathway that this is speaking of, the way that one is going. And we as parents have to be the ones that are setting the pathway, the direction. We know well Proverbs 22:6, where the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. We're thinking of a pathway. And we're protecting our kids from getting off of the track, the path that we're aiming them towards. You've probably, how many of you have shot an arrow before? A bow and arrow? Yeah. We did that with day camp this summer. Talk about excitement. Yeah, and maybe we'll pull those out for the picnic this week with a much supervision. So don't worry, parents. Okay? Brother Tom, he's not in here. He'll be our searcher for all the ones that we lose into the grass. I had no idea how well those can hide in the grass. But the archer, when he pulls back the bow, the direction that he points, what's going to happen at the moment he releases? That's where the direction of the arrow is going to go. Well, if I am making clear our aim is over here on what pleases God, guess what I'm trying to do? I'm aiming those arrows in a vector, a direction for them to hit something. And you can do that, parents. You can make it clear, this is the way we're pointing things. There's a lot of skepticism that comes towards parents that, well, you can try, but good luck. I mean, look at all you've got against you in this world. Yeah, some of you are nodding like, yeah, I've heard that. That's a lot of encouragement. Thank you. Do I give up? Do I say, well, I'm not going to point at anything because it's kind of a toss in the air. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Maybe my kids will end up loving God. Maybe they won't. No, that's ridiculous. Do kids have a choice? Absolutely. I want to do everything I can to help them. I want to do everything I can to point them in the right direction. And guess what? those of you that don't have kids or that your kids are out of the home, you know that the decisions of your life help impact others that are watching. Peer pressure is not wrong. Did you know that?
Peer pressure?
You know, we always associate peer pressure with what? Bad things. Well, if you're doing something right and you're encouraging others to it, is that not a benefit? What, when Paul says, and I've mentioned this before, follow me as I follow Christ, he's encouraging them to look at him, and his pattern is Christ. So if you follow me, you're following Christ, you're in the right path, you're in the right direction. That ought to be the example of our lives. And speaking highly of God's path to our family is important. Our families imitate and initiate future choices as they observe ours. This church, going another 40 years, there's a lot of things that can be imitated and initiated if they see examples in this church. There's a lot of things that are good to be imitated in this church. And my heart and desire is to continue to have our young people spend time with those of you who have been in the faith much longer, and for them to see those good things and see your vector and your direction and say, that's the path I want to go. I want to be like brother so-and-so or like sister so-and-so in their faith in prayer or in their service to God or in their example. That's great, isn't it? By the way, parents, you do well to point those people out and say, you know what, God is working with that individual. Praise God for them. Hey, that individual is sacrificing in a way that's obvious, and that's a great example for us. You do well to speak well of those that are following after God. By the way, you want to do harm to your family? Speak ill of those that are following after God in any way. Speak ill of them, and it will harm you drastically. It'll harm you, even if you don't have kids, it'll harm your spouse. You know that we can talk to our spouses and or friends about someone that is pursuing after God, but say something that is negative. And guess what it does about their pursuing after God in that way? It is a hindrance to it. It is not a help. It is a detriment to it. And David doesn't bemoan or pity the person who follows God. And yet sometimes we can speak very despairingly of things that God highly values. Don't hinder yourself by missing God's will. And I mentioned this earlier. God's will is at your feet. What's the next step I'm supposed to take? God's will is always the next thing in front of me. It's not the big, huge things. It's the basics. It's the what's at your feet. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It's so important to see the individual steps to take. Now, not only does David speak highly of God's path, and I think we ought to do that in our homes. But a third thing is, he points out potential pitfalls to trust in God. And I will finish here tonight with this. Observe potential pitfalls to trust in God. Potential pitfalls to trust in God. God's will is often avoided or neglected over some of the most ridiculous grounds or lines of reasoning. I have heard some really ridiculous reasons why. Well, I don't want to do that because... what? Notice verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, I said already, fretting because of evildoers, being anxious or getting worked up because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know what is being pointed out here is an incorrect valuing system. I heard this often by young people in the group that I was around growing up. Well, if I go to a Christian college, I won't be able to get a great career job in da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Maybe you all have heard that before. Well, if I did this versus this, and from the get-go, the question wasn't, what does God think about these things? Because you might have a reason why you can say God wants me to do something, but what was the emphasis? What I think the future cannot be apart from. Versus, I know God wants me to do this, and here's the things I'm going to do to be a benefit in this path life, this life path. Okay? Is Christian college the only option on the table? No, but I would encourage you to at least go 1 year to a Christian college or Bible institute to gain some extra Bible training. That's a benefit that you can't deny. And to prepare you for the onslaught of things that are going to be thrown at you that are against God. Now, that's your pastor giving advice towards something I think would help you on your path if you're going to consider college. But if you say, well, I don't think I need to go to Christian college because If I do that, I won't be able to get to the career I want. What have you already decided? You've already decided that it is impossible to do something a certain way. Now, can I challenge you? We do that a lot more than in just Christian college scenarios. And you say, what's the Christian college thing, Pastor? You haven't made a big emphasis upon this. Well, I do believe Christian education is important. And there are Christian liberal arts colleges that can be a help to you. But here's my point. If I start off saying it's impossible to, and I've got what I believe I'm supposed to do in front of the way in which it can be done, I've already said I don't care about listening for other options to doing what God wants. I already know. And that is a way of thinking that is dangerous. It's a value system that can cloud your listening to any direction or advice. Sometimes it's hard for us to hear advice that's given to us, direction that's given to us. I've heard others say, will it really be worth it to serve God? I mean, is it really worth it to give my life to serving God? And I didn't mean full-time Christian service. I mean serving. Well, look, I've got this option or this option. Which is it going to be? I mean, is it really going to make that much of a difference if I go and share the gospel with people? All right, I've got all kinds of other things I want to do. Can I make decisions that are sometimes challenged by what does God want, but I need to value something correctly? One of the hardest things to overcome and encourage our children in is this. Our value system is going to work. You're here at church on Sunday night because you value something, right? Your kids need to know that you believe that that's going to be to their benefit. Not, oh, we're going to church again. I smile, but, you know, our kids can read what we get excited about. And I pray that I would evaluate my own heart about this often, because it's important that my family not value something just because of a duty or because of some, well, we have to. You say, can that happen to pastors? It can. It shouldn't. Do you ever do things out of duty rather than love? Watch your heart. Because you pass on to your children or your grandchildren or to others in New Life Baptist Church a motive behind this, an attitude. One of the hardest things to overcome is that this path is worth it. If I don't make that a real clear thing, that it's worth it to serve God, to pursue Him, to seek after Him, you know what a lot of kids will do? Yeah, they said it was worth it, but I don't know. Hey, I go to church on Sunday morning. I read my Bible. I pray. Yeah, but why did you do what you did before? And I really want to encourage you, parents. You're here on Sunday night. And those of you that aren't parents, you're here on Sunday night. Why? And do your kids know why? Do you know why? If you, as an individual Christian, have thought about it, why are you here tonight? You know, it's okay to say to yourself, I believe that this is helping me know more of what God says. And I need more of that. That's why I'm here. I'm thrilled. There are some that come here on Sunday nights to get more. There are some that come on Wednesday nights to get more. That encourages me. It ought to encourage you. I've had people tell me, you know, our church doesn't do anything on Sunday night anymore. Our church doesn't do anything on Wednesday night anymore. Why? Well, is it a lot of work? Yes, it's a lot of work. I know you all. I know how busy you are. You're going, 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 going. You're not lazy people. I know this about you, and I pray much for your strength and your endurance in what you do. I know you're tired on Wednesday nights. I see that. I know that. I care about that. And I also know that you've believed or valued that it's valuable and important to get more from the Word of God. Communicate that to your children. Your decision already does. And by the way, I commend you for that. Our church is strengthened by just observing you here tonight. Can I say that again? Our church, our young people are encouraged by seeing you here tonight. You valued this, and that is huge to them. We've got to continue to make that clear to them. Again, the word fret doesn't mean, in verse 1, it means not worried or kindled or worked up against. And sometimes we can get worked up about the things we think we see. What does it look like in verse 1 that the person is seeing that is incorrect? Well, the person that's observing the evildoers or the workers of iniquity, why would he be envious of that? Jealous of it? Well, we live in a comparison-based society. And, well, wait a minute. Which one of these looks better? You can get all kinds of choices on the internet, can't you? You know, do you want it in this color or this color? Do you want it today or do you want it tomorrow? We can just like pick things back and forth and choose and shop. And I'm going to tell you, Christian, decisions that are made in our lives need to not be so fickle and just, oh, this looks good or this looks bad. I need to know, what does God think about something? And is this right or is this wrong? We can become jealous or envious towards others that are doing something other than God's will. We must learn a very, very important lesson that only one opinion matters. Only one opinion matters, and that is what God's opinion is. Only one opinion that matters. One measure by which to evaluate ourselves by. Look at verse 3. It's a very simple statement, but it's very important for us. If your focus and a comparison falls on any other person or object than the Lord, you will find trouble. It opposes trusting the Lord. Verse number 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. If I'm basing my decisions upon any other metric, any other thing besides I am trusting that what God says in His Word is the foundation that I will make my decisions by. This is the most valuable way to make my decisions. I'm depending upon what He says. I'm committing my works to the Lord and my thoughts are established. Proverbs 16:3 says, this is the way that I'm going to make my choices. This is the vector that I'm taking. That will then in turn affect the choices that go on in your family and in your life and individually. Look over in Proverbs 23 verse 15 and we'll finish with this tonight. Proverbs 23 verse 15 gives us a good example of this mindset. Proverbs 23 and verse 15. Proverbs 23 and verse 15 says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Now that passage is packed, and I think parents, you ought to underline that in your Bible. Proverbs 23, 15 through 19, especially the statement, let not thine heart envy sinners. If I can challenge you with something tonight, it is this regarding God's will. Keep your eyes clearly focused on why you are making the choices you are as a family, and differentiate. There is a path that is not what God is pleased with, and this is why we're not doing this, and this is why we're doing this, because we are convinced. And it's okay to pray that way at the table and talk about it with your family. We are convinced that this way pleases God. You say, can I talk about that regarding all kinds of decisions? Yeah. Yeah. I'm convinced what God is pleased with. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. Are there going to be choices that you're going to guide your heart towards all day long? I'm going to spend this much time on my phone today, or not this much time. By the way, parents, one of the best things we can do is put our phones away when we are around our children. I mean that. And it is far too easy for us to have a culture where our phone gains more of our attention than what our children do. Make sure that your kids know your attention is towards them doing what pleases God and that you're speaking of it often. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parenting is about training up a child in the way he should go. I know that's a basic, and you're like, Pastor, I know this. But parenting at its most basic form is training up a child in the way he should go, giving them direction, vector. And the way starts early, and God's will may be known by a child and enjoyed by a teenager, and followed as a young adult and all the way through life. And I want to take some time to talk about God's will over the next couple of weeks, because I really think it's something that we don't speak of in the basics form. And every one of us can know that we're doing what pleases God and know that I am in the will of God. I'm doing what pleases God. If you don't, guess what happens? How many of you have ever made decisions with anxiety attached to them? Anxiety that was there because you didn't know what to do or where to take the next step. That isn't the way that we're to live life, especially looking and saying, well, look at everybody else doing this. And look how it's going for them. And missing an obvious truth that God gives us direction about where things go. And I hope that this will be a help to us as we look at it some more. You ought to read Psalm 37, and I would encourage you to do so over this next week and just consider what those lessons were that David spoke of, and we'll look at this some more in the future. Would you bow with me for prayer tonight? You know, this may be a truth that you know is basic, but we need to put it into practice in our homes and in our families. And I want to ask you tonight, have you complicated the will of God and knowing what God's desire is for you? Have you kept it simple, and have you communicated it well in your family? Maybe tonight, parents, you'd say, you know what, I desire to keep things very crystal clear to my kids and my family. Maybe grandparents, even with your grandkids, you can communicate God's will is, God's desire is, and there is a way that is opposed to what God wants. And, you know, this has been a helpful reminder. I need to communicate it in a simple way often. And pastor, you'd say, pray for me that I will communicate that to my family, my children, in a way that is clear and consistent. I desire to communicate that out to others, whether I'm a parent or maybe in the future, if God blesses me with children, I want to be a parent. I want to be a parent that distinctly shows the right way to go, or a grandparent or an individual. And you'd say, pray for me in that, pastor. God's worked in my heart tonight to make that a very clear thing. You just say, pray for me, pastor. Raise your hand up and put it back down. Good. Yeah, very good. You know, maybe tonight you're not considering what that role is for parenting or training your children and saying, you're saying to yourself, you know, I have not kept this that simple when it comes to making decisions. And I need to come back to the basics of delighting in the Lord. And we're going to look at this more, but I need to know what I'm doing on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis is pleasing God. The choices that come before me, that there is a moral answer to this, and I've not been filtering things through what does God think about my choices, like I could or should. And you'd say, pastor, God's pointed out, I need to have a right perspective of how I'm thinking about choices, like a child must. Do these things please God or do they not? And you'd say, pastor, pray for me. I want to have a clear distinction in the way I'm making choices, knowing whether they are things that please God or don't. And you'd say, pray for me in that, pastor. I want to have a clear distinction in the decisions, the choices I make. Good. Why don't you do this? Why don't you take a few moments right now and talk to the Lord about this? And let's ask God for his help in the making of decisions in our home, in the making of decisions in our personal lives. It is possible for us to know what he desires and to pursue that. And we can do so by faith. Hebrews 11 again, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's make the pursuing of God our passion and focus this week. Would you pray with me tonight? God, I ask that you would make it clear to us tonight the areas of this week ahead that we need to reflect your desires to those that are following us and to communicate it clearly. I pray that you'd help us to keep your will and desires for us very simple and very honest. I pray that you'd give us direction in the choices that we'll make this week. And thank you, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit, as we'll see, that gives direction to us and that makes it clear what your word does say. Help us to be in your word this week so that we can know your mind and know the things that please you and those that don't. Help us to see clearly the evil way. Help us, Lord, to have victory this week in our understanding of what you desire. And I pray that you would help every young person in here tonight and adult to see the path that you want them to focus in on, the direction and aim that you want them to have, and to go after it, Lord, trusting you. Lord, I thank you that you are trustworthy and that the path you have for us is good and that the end is exactly what you want and desire, and it's better than anything I can come up with or think up in my own abilities. Lord, you have been very, very kind to us and merciful, and we praise you for your great kindness to us. Help us to never forget that. Help us to pursue what you desire this week.